This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Bill Goodrich takes us through Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 in a message entitled, The Believing Wife and Husband's Walk, Part 2.
Last week we went back to Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3, looking at one aspect of this teaching that we find as we go through Ephesians chapter 5. And so we just looked there of the importance to realize the call that God has on the man and the woman, Adam and Eve. Adam was to guard the garden, and he was to be a gardener in that garden. And then we see that Eve was called to be a helper comparable to the man. A very beautiful call that God had on Adam and Eve. Now, from those calls that we see in their lives, the purpose that God has put in Scripture for marriage, then come various individual details, and we'll be looking at some of those this evening. Now, I realize there's a lot of different people here this morning. There's a lot of different relationships concerning marriage. Some have had challenges within marriage. Some have had spouses that haven't been very kind and all that. And then today, even today, you can find yourself in a situation that can be challenging too. I realize all of those things. But we're not to limit the teaching, the pure teaching of the Word of God. And so I pray that it would be a blessing to each and everyone as we continue to go through this subject that we see here. We'll look at the wife walking in the spirit of submission, and the husband is to love his wife. And that's how it breaks down here as we see that. As I stated last week, when dealing with the responsibilities for husbands and wives, we must always remember that God's instructions are not grievous. I made this statement last week. In fact, they are easy and light. How do we know that? On the screen, you'll see Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, where Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I want today our learning to come from God himself as we look into the Scripture, as the Holy Spirit would speak to us as individually. And notice the end of that verse says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I made this statement, I'm going to repeat it today too. If we walk down the path God has for us, if we do just what he says, we will experience the most loving and peaceful, the richest and fullest life imaginable. This is doubly true for husband and wife, for they have the companionship of each other as well as the Lord. But I understand life is not perfect. There's three things that are working against a marriage staying together. There is our flesh, there is sin, there is the devil, and the world there that we see working against us. So join with me, please, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. And I believe this is a connecting verse between the subject prior to this, that we are to walk in wisdom. We're to walk carefully, circumspectly, as it says in verse 15, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we see that. And then it goes on in verse 19, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul comes to the point in verse 21 saying, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This is the relationship that should be in our marriage, and it should be foundational that we have a relationship that we are in submission to one another. I'd like to think that my wife would understand that she knows that I am submitted to her. I definitely know that she is submitted to me. She does a better job of it than I do. So pray for me. Pray for me in that way. But we're still working on it, 45 years, and we're still working on me, okay? Working on me in that way. So pray for me. But, you know, we are to be submitted one to another. How does it say there in verse 21? In the awesome respect of God, the fear of God. Now, I'm not afraid of God anymore, and I pray that no one here would be afraid of God. I don't think he wants us to be afraid of him, but he wants us to be in awe of him and to realize how wonderful he is, how powerful, and he can do anything that he wants to do. I mean, after all, he created this crazy universe that, you know, this where this earth spins around at a certain, if it just goes what, Scott, if it goes just 1 degree or something like that, we're in trouble? Yeah, yeah, it's something, whatever it is, yeah. But anyway, it's beyond my understanding. But, you know, he's got it all balanced out, and, you know, and he's awesome. He's amazing. He's powerful. He can do anything he wants. And we look into the scriptures because he's given us this book to say, this is who I am, and this is what I've done, and this is what I want to do. And so we come there, as it says, submitting to one another in our marriages in the awesome respect of who God is. And so then he takes off. Paul takes off after that. He addresses the wives, and he addresses the husbands. And let's start with verse 22. It says, wives, and it's very clear here, submit to your own husbands. But notice a line is drawn in the sand, as to the Lord, as to the Lord. The woman is not to submit to anything that is not of the Lord, is not found in Scripture. You know, I always like to say, if I asked Vi to go with me to rob the bank, and, you know, she would just look at me and say, that's stupid, I'm not going. Okay? And she shouldn't go, because that would be contrary to the teaching of Scripture. And so it's very important that we realize there's an equality. This is now bone of my bones. This is now flesh of my flesh in the being of a person. But there is what we will see here in a moment, an authority structure that God has established. But there in that authority structure, God puts a line in the sand that a woman is not required to cross over. And we'll come back to this a little deeper. We'll go into this. But we see in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And then he comes back and says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, that's not the dictator, as we spoke about last week. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, there's an authority structure that's been established. We see that the head of the wife is the husband. We see the head of man is Christ, and we see the head of Christ is the Father. There's an authority structure that's been established by God that certain things flow down. We love him because he first what? Love. So we know from heaven, the Father, love flowed from the Father to Jesus. And Jesus's love flowed from him to the husband, to us. Adam was created, as we see, first. And so Adam experienced the love of God, who God is first. And then came this beautiful creature, this wonderful person, the wife there, Eve and all. And so Adam is to reflect and pass down that love in that way. And back up, then we see that there's respect, and there's so many other things that we see in Scripture there. And so the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is, Jesus is, the Savior of the body. Now, bounce down with me to verse 32. This is a verse that I have 4 stars. Now, in my Bible, as I've said before, the most stars you can get is 4. Okay, so this is a 4-star verse. Look what it says. This is a great mystery, the teaching that we're going to go through here. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. There's this wonderful relationship between Christ and his church, and there's a parallel relationship that we have between the husband and the wife. Beautiful, beautiful relationship we have. We almost have a triangle in this way that we have. On the top of the triangle is God. Then we see the husband and the wife, you know, and we start out with brand new marriages like that. And we, as we continue to grow and grow, we grow even closer to each other and closer to God in the midst as we go forward. For the husband is the head of the wife, also as Christ is the head of the church, and he is, Jesus is the Savior of the body. But can a man be involved in protecting his family? The answer would be absolutely. Absolutely. And so we see that again, looking at this. For the husband is the head of the wife. He is to be a protector. He is to be so many things that we'll see here in a moment. And he is the Savior. Now that's Jesus is the Savior of the body. The husband is not the Savior of the body. Jesus is the Savior. But the husband is to reflect what Jesus does as the Savior into the body of Christ, but also into a marriage. But then we, as we yield ourselves to Christ, then we can be used as a guard, a gardener, but a guard to watch out and to bring protection into the marriage, in a sense of savior in that way, an application that we see there. Verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. The next two words say what? In everything. Everything means? Everything. Now, what is important about this is that God means what he says here. Let's look at the verse again. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ. Now, the word in the original language is the same word that is translated in verse 22 to mean submit. And so, but here it's translated subject, I believe, because of the context and the meaning, what he's trying to present, because it goes on, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Again, in what? Everything. Now, when I do premarital counseling, and those that are here that have experienced premarital counseling that we've gone through, they'll hopefully reflect back and they'll know that I come to a point and I look at the wife or the wife-to-be, I look at that young, beautiful lady that wants to marry this man, and I say, do you realize that you, when you walk down that aisle, that you're going to place yourself by him, which is good, but you're going to be subject to his lifestyle, whatever his lifestyle is, in everything. If he's a godly man, that's what's going to be reflected into your marriage and into your children. If he's not a godly man, then that will be also the reflection that will be in there, because you will be subject to. He's not a dictator. I want to be very clear about that. But inside of marriage, there's an authority that is granted the husband that is to be given, and the person is to walk in that. And so I believe that's what Paul is saying. That's what he's saying, inspired by God. Understand. So I look at him and I just look right at him and I say, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure that this man's going to bring you closer to Christ? And then I wait for the answer. And if there's a pause, I'm right on it. I listen if there's a pause. But I'll go back again. Are you sure? They'll say, oh, yes, I am sure. And then I ask, well, why are you sure? And they'll say this or that and that. And I say, well, right now, does he have you in the Word of God? And I get different responses. Is he praying with you right now? Because if he's not doing that on this side of marriage, there's a possibility that he won't do it on that side of marriage. It's very important. Again, look at that verse. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, I want to be subject to Christ because I know he's going to do everything right. He's going to do everything perfect. So I want to submit myself and be subject to his lifestyle, so to speak, if I can put it that way, power and all. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And so we'll come back just a moment and cover that a little bit deeper, but not much more. But look at verse 25. He goes right now to husbands. Love your wives. The word used for love there is the word agape. And that was the word that they created after they saw Christ and the love that he had for the human race and everybody. This beautiful, beautiful word was created to depict his love. But now God turns to us and say, love your wives. You want to know how to love your wives? Then look at Christ because of this parallel relationship. Love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. You and I, men, are to be the example of giving our lives for another person. That means we die, and I'm going to emphasize that in a minute, to our own desires at times. We yield to what the Lord would have inside of the marriage. Notice the result, verse 26, that Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. And so it's Jesus working with the church to sanctify, which means to separate from the world, and to cleanse, that's speaking of purity within the wife, but within the church, with the washing of water by the word. You want to know how to be successful as a husband? Keep your wife in the word. Today, do you have devotions? Today, are you praying with her, as I've mentioned? Today, are we making sure that she comes to church, doing those things, bathing her, taking time each week to bathe her and make sure she's in the Word of God? That's what's Paul, because that's what Jesus does through the Holy Spirit to his church that are you and I today, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, that he, again, Christ, might present her, the church, to himself, back unto himself. In what way will the church come back unto him as he does what he does and only what Christ can do? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Again, that means a certain thing we'll touch base on here in a moment, or any other such thing, but that she shall be holy and without blemish. And so there we see that's what God is doing in our lives today. I pray that that's what he's doing as we're going through the word. He's speaking to us. He's bringing maybe conviction to men and women today, husbands and wife. I'm open. I've had to study this all week, you know, and in that, you know, so I'm watching my life. Bible say, he was really good this week. He really was, because, you know, I know I'd be standing before you guys. But it's a great privilege we have, but a great responsibility. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And so we are to bring to maturity, men, our wives. And as we bring them to maturity in the word of God, then it'll flow down to our children. And we are to cherish them. I always like to think, what's it mean to cherish? Well, I go back to a 1956 Chevy that I had. Way back, a 56 Chevy. I mean, it was metallic blue. This baby shined because I polished it every week if I could, you know, and it had metallic flake in it and all that. And inside, I'd get into it, and I had the shifter on the floor, and I had the mag wheels, and it just had a 283 that was bored out to a 301, and I'd race it. I would, on the streets and all of that. And then I just cherished that car. And then one day when I was going in the Navy and all that, I was just goofing around on a street and everything. And I was backing up without looking back. And I was just backing up, smack into a tree and bent that frame. And that took care of that 56 Chevy. That was my idol. But I cherished it. I did. I really, probably a bad example. Get it? But there are ways that we are to cherish our wives, okay? Not a 56 Chevy, but you get the point. Do you get the point? I hope you get the point. Anyway, if you note, there's something wrong with you. No, it's me. But notice, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Don't you feel nourished by the Holy Spirit? Don't you feel cherished by God? You know, there's trials, there's tribulations, there's difficulties and all that. But as we slow down and come back to the Lord, I find that he whispers and he says, you know, I love you. I love you. Do you really, Lord? Yeah, I love you. And he loves us. He cherishes us, but he definitely nourishes us. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. We're all there, part of the same body in that way. And then in verse 31, he goes back to Genesis chapter 2. He says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Beautiful relationship. And then verse 32, again, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And then he ends it by summarizing the principles that we see here. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Summarization brings it all together for the husband and then for the wife, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And so a beautiful section of scripture we know concerning marriage. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, and then we'll dive back into this a little bit more before we close this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter emphasizes, the Holy Spirit instructs Peter to emphasize the truth concerning marriage. Wives, verse 1, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey, notice if they don't obey the word, what's the wife to do after marriage? They, without a word, may be won, the husbands may be won by the conduct of their wives. That is difficult. You know, not everything is perfect, unfortunately. You know, husbands can be rascals, you know, at times what is being said here. And so sometimes we just ladies have to just step back and begin to pray and to be silent in a way there. to a point. Then verse 2, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward. The word merely has been added to explain what the meaning of the sentence is. Arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. It's not to be the outside that is the most important. You're supposed to take care of the outside, but that is not the most important. Rather, verse 4, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, that doesn't mean a woman is to be weak or silent, not at all. There's to be a strength, and she is to speak as the Lord would have her to speak. But there is this relationship at times. She is to carry this gentle, definitely, and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. It's described as almost like a piece of apparel that she would wear, but it's a spiritual aspect of her life. And then given an example in verse 6, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. And then Peter in verse 7 comes and amplifies even more this relationship, the responsibility of the husbands. Husbands likewise. When you see likewise, it means everything that was prior to this, the husband is to be sensitive to and to walk through. Husbands likewise, dwell with them, the wife, with understanding, he adds. We're to have an understanding attitude about our wives. Notice this part, giving honor to the wife. Men, are we given honor to our wives? Because it's very important that we would do that. And I pray that the ladies feel that they are honored by their husbands. As it says to the weaker vessel, that's physical, not spiritual. Men or women tend to be weaker, but I've met some women that would just beat me up. They're buff and all that, but anyway, I'll leave those to other people. But as to a weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, here it is, that your prayers may not be hindered. Just a beautiful, beautiful relationship. But I have learned through my 40-some years of marriage that if I don't honor my wife, my very prayers can be hindered. And I don't want them to be hindered. So I've asked the Lord, teach me to love my wife. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 5 here. Just a little bit more time to emphasize some things. Submission. What does it mean? It simply means putting others before yourself. It means not always doing what you want. It means submitting God's desires or putting God's desires above your desires. That's why verse 21 is given, I believe, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Inside of marriage, we learn to put the other person's desires before our own. Is that easy? No, not at all. It's not easy, but that is the command of Scripture. Submission means putting others before yourself. It means not always doing what you want. It means putting God's desires above your desires. The word submission makes many Christians uncomfortable. Notice I put Christians uncomfortable. They squirm or murmur against the apparent injustice of it. Somewhere along the line, Christians have come to a false notion about what submission means in the Bible. Thanks to attacks on the biblical idea of submission, Christians have come to think of submission as oppression. They brand the teaching of submission as sexist, or they rant about the passage as being justification for husbands mistreating or abusing their wives. This is not the biblical understanding of submission. It's never to be that. It's a high call. It's an elevated position. It's a loving act that God has called all of us to be involved, each of us to be in marriage, but also he goes specifically to the wife in the relationship. But the biggest problem with this view, this misunderstanding of what it means, submission means, is that the teaching on submission has been stripped of its true meaning to promote the idea that the Bible is sexist. That's what they want to say. But in fact, taken in context, the passage depicts the perfect relationship between husband and wife. God's design for marriage, man has his wonderful responsibilities, and woman has her definitely beautiful wonderful responsibilities. According to Paul, a faithful husband willfully lays down his life for his wife. He is not a tyrant who forces her to submit to his sinful human desires, but abandons his own will, his own affections, and needs for her sake. Further, Paul exhorts the husband to love his wife as he loves his own body and equates the husband's care of his wife with that of Christ's for his church. It's a high call, but it's strong, and it's a hard thing. And definitely if we try to do it by ourselves, it won't work. A loving husband submits his will to that of Christ, and in doing so, imitates Christ in the marriage relationship. In this context, the wife willingly surrenders to her husband, just as her husband chooses to surrender his will to Christ. Submission based on love brings peace and harmony to the family. And so that's the perfect. When it gets not so perfect, that's where the challenges come in. And marriage is challenging at times, is it not? But it's just this beautiful, beautiful relationship. Christ in the church, husband and wife, a beautiful relationship that we are to have today. Two reasons in this passage why the wife is to be submitted, just briefly, to her husband. To submit is according to God's will. It's according to God's will in marriage, and that's why a woman is to do that. Second, why is the wife to be submissive to her husband? We see in this passage, to submit is God's order for the family. The husband, why is she to do that? The husband is the head of the wife. We see that. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Very specifically, we see that. Notice on the screen here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 11 through 12, where Paul says concerning the partnership between men and women, neither is independent of the other. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as the woman came from man, even so man also comes through the woman. But all things are of who? They're all of God. They're all of God. And so we see that wonderful relation, that equality that is built in there. But as we have that equal relationship, there's different calls upon our lives that we are to walk in. There is neither male nor female. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 on the screen. It says this, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in whom? Christ Jesus. We do that in that way. It's a beautiful relationship. And so the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. It's a beautiful, beautiful relationship. And thirdly, we see the husband is the protector of the family, just as Christ is the savior of the body. In God's order of things for the family, the husband is to be head over the family. He arranges things in the spirit of tenderness and love. That's what we're supposed to do. And the wife is to submit herself in a spirit of understanding and reasonableness. Praise the Lord. That's the teaching of the Word of God. Did that hurt you ladies a whole bunch?
No.
Okay, thanks, Pam. Pam, you are the loudest. You are the best, you know, as we go through that. So just a simple teaching today of this wonderful, wonderful call in marriage that we can have. How many are here married? Wow. I'm going to have a question for you guys in a moment. Wow. How many that are here that aren't married would like to be married? I'm going to pray for you guys real a lot, okay, in that way. You know, and that's a good desire if it's of the Lord. But a person can be called to marriage and a person can be called to singlehood, okay? Be careful back there, Brett. All right, let's turn to, ladies, do you want us to turn toward the husband right now as we close out? No. Yes, Tim says yes. Let's just turn for a moment to the husband. The husband here we saw is to love his wife. Love his wife as Christ loved the church. There's five reasons in here that I pulled out why a husband is to love his wife. First, because the love that the husband is to have for his wife is the very love of God himself. We want to give our wives God. Give them love. As God gave himself, so the husbands to do the same thing for their wives. This is truly agape love. Just imagine what would happen in marriages today if the husband so loved his wife as Christ loved the church, if he loved her with a selfless and unselfish love, if he loved her with a giving and sacrificial love, if we love with a love of the will as well as of the heart, the mind, if we love with a commitment as well as affection. That's the way we are to love. Secondly, we see why the husband is to love his wife. The reason is because the love he is to have for her is the same love he has for his own body. We saw that in the scripture. This means that he is to nourish, which means to feed, to clothe, to nurture, to look after her so that she grows in her maturity for as long as they live together. Cherish, we see that, means to hold ever so dear within the heart, to treat with warmth and tenderness and care and affection and appreciation. This kind of love would cause the husband to become one with his wife and the wife to become one with her husband. Thus, there would be unity of mind and thoughts. There would be unity of objectives and purpose. There would be unity of behavior and activity. There will be unity of body and spirit with God and with each other. And we men are to love that way. We are to love our wives in a very special way. The third reason why a husband is to love his wife is because the love he is to have for her is to be the love that will stir him to leave his parents and be joined to his wife. Very important thing. I did a wedding last night. Well, a re-wedding. And it was just special. I love weddings. I really do. But I did a funeral yesterday. And I loved the graduation too. Ever Boyd, we did that. And she's up in heaven rejoicing. And I love that. But marriage is a beautiful, beautiful thing. But to be joined means to join fast together. This is what we are to be in our marriages. To be glued together. To be cemented together. To be joined in the closest union possible. To be bound together. To be so totally united that we become one. That's the intention. But there is a world. There is the flesh. There is sin, and there is the enemy. There are three unions within true marriage. There is the physical union, the sharing of each other's bodies. A lot of times when you sit down with young people, they understand that one. You know, they understand, I want that union. There's a lot more than that. There's a mental union, the sharing of and working together for each one's life and dreams and hopes. We work together with that. And thirdly, there is the spiritual union, the sharing and melting and molding of each other's spirit. In other words, the sharing of things of God together. And so marriage is beautiful. And the fourth reason why a husband is to leave his wife, because the love he is to have for her, for his wife, is a spiritual mystery. It's a mystery at times, is it not? Marriage, guys, you ever scratch your head? Ladies ever scratch their head concerning this thing called marriage? It's just beautiful. But it is challenging at times. And then fifthly, the reason why a husband is to love his wife is so that he loves his wife with understanding and honors her, and that his prayers would not be hindered. Today, all of this paints a picture of these facts. The Christian home is to be lived in the very presence and atmosphere of the Lord. That's God's intention. Number two, the Christian home is to be governed by the Lord. Its decisions are to be made in the light and the will of light of the Lord and in his will. And thirdly, the Christian home is not to have two partners, but three. What are the three partners? Husband, wife, and who? Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Always three partners, always sensitive. When we go into marriage, we interact and all, we have a boss, and it's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus, it's our Father, it's God. And as we yield our lives to him, challenging enough, it will be, but yet it can be something most beautiful. Today, a question for us that are married. Does your marriage have three partners? Is there the husband? Is there wife? And do you leave room for God? God in the midst of it. Is he holding us accountable in that way? If not, may a commitment be made today that will be that our marriages would be that way. Amen?
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at CCBCI.org.